Say, morning, everybody. If you can turn your Bibles to Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble.
Well, welcome. Welcome to a new year. Haven't seen many of you for a while, so it's good to be back. It's good to see you all again. And Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and all the other things in between that I may have left out or forgotten. I hope you all have had a good season. But as we get started this morning, I thought let's just take a moment and just, in one sense, commit this year to the Lord in prayer, very intentionally. Maybe we'll do a little bit now and then a little bit at the end again. But a change in the year, a change from one year to another year for us is quite significant. We see it in our calendars, and it makes quite a significant impact on our lives. There's a lot of stuff happening around this time. A lot of transitions, a lot of changes, whether it's economical or personal or whatever, things are happening. We notice it all around us. But hopefully we won't get too caught up by those things and have our eyes still fixed on what is most important. So let's pray. Let's bring this before the Lord. This time this morning, contemplation this morning as we wrestle through these things. Let's close our eyes. Gracious Heavenly Father, We thank you that we have this privilege to meet again, another Sunday, but in the same sense, it's different. It's a new Sunday. It's a new year. Lord, in our minds, we are fixated by time and boxing things, whether it's in terms or semesters, however it is. We seem to be governed by these things, but Lord, we serve you, who is far greater than that. We serve a God that is not so worried about our days or our weeks or our years in that sense, but you are worried about life. We worried about this year, and you are worried about something far greater. We worry about what we face daily, and where your concern lies is eternal. Lord, help us to refocus our hearts and our minds on what is most important. That it's not so much about our daily struggles or our concerns or our worries that we face in this year that lies ahead, but that there is a far greater question that we need to wrestle with. And that is that when all things fade away, what will be of us? What will happen to us, Lord? Are our lives secure in you? So, Lord, I pray that you help us wrestle with that this morning. Help us wrestle with the reality that you are a God that's not worried so much about this life, but instead you are more concerned about the life that is to come, the life that is in your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, open our hearts and our minds to all that we can know and learn and understand so that we can come to our knees before you in desperate need for your salvation, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Not only this morning, but also in the year that lies ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I hope that's true for us, that we wrestle with that this year. We wrestle with who Jesus Christ is in our year and not get so caught up in life. All right, so we've read the passage this morning. If you turn to your outline there, I have squeezed it in with your songs. So you can follow there if you want. Or you can follow the passage and think through it as we go. But I've titled this talk this morning, Eternal Investment. Eternal Investment. And I thought maybe I took it a bit far, but I thought maybe I can write a little slogan for it as well. Investing in our future without worrying about tomorrow. Sounds a bit like Alan Gray or what's those insurance companies? It sounds good. I thought it worked. Investing in our future without worrying about tomorrow. It's a nice one. As I was just thinking this through, I came across a couple phrases that people use. I've probably used them. I'm guilty of it. I don't know if any of you are. Have you ever used the phrase, you only live once? Yeah. Or maybe you've used this one, live for today. Or how about this one, you only have one life to live. Seems a little bit more emphasized, more dramatic. What do we mean by that? If you can think of the times that you've used it, as I did, and I contemplated how I use them, I've often used it in that way to give myself the freedom to do something that I probably shouldn't, to try and justify an action. So you say, you only live once. Well, then buy it. Or live for today and do whatever you want because it's about you and what makes you happy. Or maybe it's more along the lines of you only have one life to live, so you have to achieve everything that you possibly can. Have you used those phrases actually in those contexts? I know I have. I'm guilty of that. And I actually think I probably used it 2 weeks ago to justify something. I do it more often than I realize. So as I'm coming this morning to share with you, I'm coming out of my struggle with this idea, the struggle of worry. Because we say these things because we so desperately are trying to not only justify ourselves, but we are trying to appease this worry in ourselves, this concern that we're not going to achieve or utilize what life has to offer. And so we focus inwardly. And we are driven to try and do all that we can and achieve all that we can. Or maybe it is just to justify that little indulgence along the way. And so I've put there, just below that, the pressures of these views are in light of the new year is that we either come into a new year with a sense of fear for what the new year holds, or we overly excited for what we can do. So I think that kind of touches on what Lionel said about the optimist and the pessimist. I thought that was a great little quote. The optimist waiting up for the new year while the pessimist is waiting to make sure that the old year goes away. Yeah? And that's kind of how we enter into a new year. We really do. We enter into a new year with either absolute fear of what the new year will hold, or we are overly excited for what we can attain and gain and gather in the new year. But our focus is on what's in front of us. Our focus is on what lies ahead within the next 365 days, 364 days, 363 days, as it counts down. As you know, we are already, how many days in? 5 days in? And so we start getting more anxious as the year starts running away from us. And you start picking up on your heart's desires and your heart's fears as the year starts slipping away from you. If you don't believe me, rewind. Rewind a couple days ago when it was still the old year. How many of you finished everything that you wanted to do? How many of you got anxious about not finishing and doing what you wanted to do or getting what you wanted to get? I challenge you. I tried to do it and I started and then I got too pessimistic, so I left it. But try and get to the end of the year and write a letter to yourself in light of the end of that year, but write to yourself in the new year. And tell yourself what to expect in the new year, and then read it 2 weeks later and see what you've written. It's a frightening thing, because when you really start contemplating on the year that lies behind you, you start to get a bit of perspective. And then as you move into the new year, something shifts in our brain. Something changes, and we get excited for what lies ahead. Or maybe we're nervous. Maybe we're fearful because we don't want the year to repeat itself that we just had. But sometimes we need to take stock and check ourselves. Well, this passage this morning, in one sense, does that, whether you want to or not. The passage this morning in Matthew 6 helps us to take stock of where our focus is at. Helps us to really reflect and realign ourselves with what is important. So let's look at it again. We'll pick up a few things as we go. Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? So I'm going to pause there. The first thing that stood out to me as I was wrestling with this passage is how I've misread this passage. Maybe you've done it as well. But so often I've read this passage something more like this. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about tomorrow. And that's where my mind is at. When in fact it's saying all of your life. Do not worry about all your life. So in this account, this phrasing that we are given here, it's so much broader than just tomorrow. It is all your life. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Jesus saying these words, understanding the true depth and the true meaning of what life is. He then gets us to focus a little bit further. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Now, there's two things that's beautiful about that. When was the last time you sat outside and just listened to the birds? Take a moment if you haven't done it in a while. This morning I woke up and the power was out, which was great. So everything's actually, there's a different silence when you wake up and there's no electricity. There's less buzz. And I stepped outside and I could hear the birds. And I just sat there for a moment and man, they sound so happy and content. It's a beautiful thing. God has created these birds, and there they carry on. They wake up in the morning before I do, without an alarm clock or anything, and yet they are filled with joy to sing and to chirp, and they are taken care of. I was reminded of that this morning. But also in what Jesus has said here is that we can't add an hour to our life by worrying. In fact, we probably do the opposite. I think more statistics show that by worrying, you are taking hours away from your own life. You are going to live shorter lives as you worry about what is to come. It's bizarre. Verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. That's beautiful. It speaks for itself. So, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So it's important that we read this passage and we see there's a couple things that are needing to be taken note of. There is a first focus. There is a big but in this passage. And that but is that our focus needs to be in the right place first and foremost. So as we come into this year, what are we doing? What is our focus? Is our focus on what lies behind us, what lies ahead of us, where our struggles are, what our worries are? Or is our focus on our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior of our lives and what he has done for us? This is where our focus needs to be. Our focus needs to shift from our immediate circumstances to our Savior. And I say that not lightly. I know that's not easy. I know that's by no means an easy thing to do. Because you're going to wake up tomorrow morning and you're going to have this flood of emotions, of fears, of anxieties, of stresses, of concerns, or whatever it is that your day holds. But we do that. Our lives get consumed by what is in front of us, what we can see, what is tangible, or what is actually lacking in tangibility, whether it's finances or a roof over our head, whatever it is. It fills us with fear, with anxiety. But what this passage is doing is not ignoring those things, but bringing focus to what is important. The idea to not to worry or be anxious doesn't mean that God doesn't care about our circumstance, but he is saying he's more concerned about our eternal circumstance. If your focus is here and now, then your reward is here and now. If your focus is on what is in front of you in this year, then that is what you're going to get out of this year. But Jesus is telling us here that if your focus is on the kingdom, then that is where your reward will be. It will be in him. If you don't believe me, if you're not yet convinced of that, notice at the beginning of this passage, there was a therefore. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Well, what does he mean, therefore, I tell you, do not worry? Well, look back at the previous section. He says in verse 19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your treasure is here and now in this year and what it has to offer, that's your reward. That's what you're going to hold on to. But if you are focused on him, on Jesus Christ, on what he is offering you, if you are storing up riches in him, then what this year holds is not going to sway you nearly as much as if you are holding on to this year. Does that make sense? You see, when this year starts getting rocky along the way, and it probably will, as for all of us, it does. The way we respond reflects where our treasures are lying. If you start getting more and more anxious, well, then it's reflecting that your treasure is lying here and not in his kingdom. Is that tough? That's a difficult thing to swallow. I don't expect everybody to go, yeah, that's good. That's difficult. That's challenging. And that's why I say I'm speaking out of my own conviction as well this morning, because yesterday I was struggling with this. And probably this morning as well, if I really start scratching at the surface. But yesterday I was reflecting on this again, and 5 minutes later, I caught myself thinking about, why couldn't it just be like this? Why couldn't that just work out this way? And I'm trying to plot and plan my whole life. Because that's what we do. We get caught up in the here and now, and we lose sight of who Jesus Christ is, of what he has to offer. Because he's not leaving us in the circumstance, but he's showing us how he is so much greater than this year, so much greater than our life, so much greater than whatever good thing or bad thing can happen this year. And at that point, we can also think a little bit further. I mean, it's one thing to turn to God when your year is getting difficult because you become desperate and you fall to your knees and you desperately then seek him because you realize that nothing else is working and only he can. But what if things go really great for you this year? Are you then still falling to your knees, desperately seeking him? Because somehow we become content and satisfied with the here and now, and still we lose focus. So nobody's excused here this morning. Whatever year you're planning to have, you're not excused. Whether you think you're going to have a good year or a bad year, we all need to be falling to our knees before our Savior Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that can save us. He can only save us from our good circumstances and our bad circumstances, success or failure. And it doesn't mean that he removes us out of that, but he gives us freedom to endure it, freedom to carry on, because we are not bound by those things. And our treasures are not in those things, but in him. So this passage comes to an end in verse 34. It brings it a little bit closer now. And this is why I said I've read this passage wrong so often, because I read this first verse in this last verse into verse 25. So verse 34 then says, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow." And I think Jesus is incredibly sharp when he says that, because he knows them. He's saying, I know when you hear life, you're going to think broad and then you kind of fizzle out and you don't carry on thinking about it. But he's saying, okay, while I'm talking to you now, take stock of where your heart is, where your mind is, and now, right now, don't worry about tomorrow. Can you do that? "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." But Jesus calls us to take stock. Where is our hearts? Where is our worries? Where is our concerns? What do you expect this year to hold for you? It's a frightening thing. I won't lie. But this is something that we need to keep on doing. Every day this year, we need to be taking stock of where our hearts are, where our minds are running with us. Are we focused on this year and the trajectory of it? Or we focus on him and the trajectory of the life that he offers us in Christ Jesus? At that point, do any of you feel that you feel alone in this? Do you feel maybe that, wow, okay, I'm starting to feel anxious now, just at the idea that I shouldn't feel anxious? Did we do that as well? Or the idea that you're feeling anxious because you're not supposed to feel anxious, we do that as well. Or maybe you feel that you're alone, that you try, but you don't get it right. Well, welcome to the club. We do fail. But that's why we are called to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Turn with me to Hebrews 3. We get a great example given to us in the Old Testament, and the writer of Hebrews picks it up. And it's a fantastic reminder because, well, we kind of think we're not like them, but we're very much like them. So before we read, you can turn this along, Hebrews 3. Reflect back for a moment on Israel and think about their story that you've heard time and time again. God saves Israel out of Egypt. And they rejoice, they're thankful, they've, well, somewhat Some of them weren't very thankful because they were comfortable. And so God saves them out of Egypt and brings them into the desert. Not yet the promised land, but the desert. And they wander there for 40 years. And you see Israel as these 40 years drag on and on and on. They start getting tired. They start getting frustrated. Probably a lot of them were getting anxious because this is not what they thought life would be outside of Egypt. We were being saved, but now we are suffering in the desert. And so you have this picture of Israel being saved out of the comfort that they'd, in some sense, created for themselves in Egypt, but also drawn out into a circumstance that felt far worse than the person that was worse off in Egypt. And they were suffering in this desert for 40 years, going around in circles. And so they started moaning and groaning and getting annoyed and having to eat the same thing day in, day out. And listen to this. Listen to Hebrews 3, verse 7. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me. Though for 40 years they saw what I did, that is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. I'm going to pause there. It doesn't end there. There is good news. But if that is our way of looking at things, the here, the now, our circumstances, then we won't have rest. Because rest can't be found in our circumstances. Rest can't be found in our desert wanderings. Rest can't be found in things of this world. So you will be frustrated. You will experience the exact same thing that the Israelites were experiencing. But take a deep breath. There is good news. Verse 12. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. That for me is good news. I don't know about you, but for me that's good news, because what it's telling me is that I don't have to endure this year alone. I don't have to try and figure it out and strive on my own account, but I can turn to my brothers and sisters around me and remind them as they remind me of who Jesus Christ is. So, when you start feeling anxious, share that with someone. When you see someone else getting anxious, are you willing to step up and say, hey, do you remember where your hope is found? That it's not in your circumstances and whatever you're being anxious about, but it is in Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility as brothers and sisters in Christ. But it's also the good news. Because the reality is you are going to forget it this year. At some other moment, you will forget it. But I pray that the people around you will remind you of it again. So when you drop the baton, I hope that we will be there for one another to pick it up again. Or if you fall to the ground in this year in despair or anxiety or fear, that you will have people around you to pick you back up and point you back to Christ. That's why we meet like this on a Sunday. That's why we've come together. because we are here for one another. We are here to build one another up in Christ. We are here to remind one another that our hearts aren't deceived, aren't led astray by all sorts of weird ideas and thoughts, but that we are sharpened and refined by God's word through one another. Is that good news for you? I mean, who likes to be alone? I don't like to be alone. Definitely not in this walk, because this is a challenging one. And I think we all have things that we can share, testimonies that we can actually give account to of where we've had someone around us at the right time pointing us back to Christ when we were in the pit or in a moment of despair. We can't do this alone. So as we go into this year, as we start it up, as those feelings of anxiety start bubbling to the surface, or maybe you're overly excited and you are just, your mind's already set on everything that you're going to achieve this year, be open to people guiding you in the right direction, pointing you to Christ. Allow yourself to be reminded of that. And you might find a lot more rest this year in your Savior Jesus Christ than what you did last year. I hope to do that. So I'm asking all of you to remind me as well. Point me to Christ in my moments where I don't seem to be doing that. Because that's what we are here to do. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. What more can we say but thank you? Thank you that we can remind one another. Thank you that we can share in it together. Share in the remembrance that your body was broken and your blood was spilled, not only for me, but for everyone around me. Lord, we thank you for this incredible gift, that this is where our hope is truly found, in your Son, Jesus Christ. And that no matter what this year holds, no matter where we are right now, you are calling us out. You have rescued us from the pit of despair. You have saved us from ourselves, and you have saved us from a life that would be absent of you. And you have called us into your marvelous light, into your marvelous goodness, into your grace. And Lord, I pray that this will be on our lips, as we could taste the juice and drink and eat the bread, as we can taste them on our lips, may your words and the truth of who you are so be on our lips too. That we confess you, that we declare you, that we rejoice in you with one another. Every opportunity we get and every reminder we are given, may we do so. And Lord, we thank you that you are so gracious, that you are so forgiving, and that you are so loving toward us, even when we don't deserve it. Amen.